Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com.
Hi, I'm Colin Curry from Princeton University. I'm speaking today with John Campbell, Associate Vice President of Academic Technologies at Purdue University, and George Siemens, Associate Director of the Technology Enhanced Research Institute at Athabasca University. We're talking about analytics. Now, I would guess that if you looked back 10 or 15 years, much of the data that you rely on wasn't available in many universities. So I wonder how much the maturation of the kinds of systems that store this data have made it possible for you to do these kinds of analytics, and if you see additional areas for growth in this area.
Well, the core data that I started out with is still widely available. I think what you're seeing happen on many institutions is the adoption of other tools that provide a new wealth of data that you can take a look at. And so the challenge for many institutions is to see what data is available, what data is being produced, and then being able to capture that near real time so that you can do analysis on it.
And I think one of the things that's worth emphasizing is higher education has never done an exceptionally good job using the data that it has. I think we've always had more data than we've actually taken the time to analyze and make sense of. Now, I'm involved in a university that is, most of our activities occur in the online space, which means that we absolutely have new data points to consider than, let's say, in a physical campus or even in a distance education model. And then if you look at the data trails that learners leave now between a combination of social media tools such as, you know, Foursquare or Twitter or Facebook or mobile devices that you can use to track location and activity, suddenly, you know, a greater percentage of our daily lives are being recorded. And as universities try and grapple with the privacy and the ethics issues around that, we can start to get better insight into learner activity and even peripheral factors that influence learner success and their activity within a course itself.
How would you categorize the different areas of analytics, and what kind of university data would fall into each of those categories?
People are looking at analytics in a variety of ways. So you have this umbrella type of term, analytics, which you're trying to mine, model the data, and eventually be able to act upon that data. And so that can be utilized in both the teaching and learning aspect as well as the financial aspect of the institution, where you're trying to understand where you get the students more likely than not. So if you're offering an online course, where is your biggest areas of success? So, and that's been pretty traditional in higher education institutions. Then you start getting into a couple of other areas where people are trying to define academic analytics versus learning analytics. And so for academic analytics, people are focusing on kind of the educational process itself, looking at not only what occurs with the individual learner, the classes, and also what might happen in a departmental or programmatic aspect, like for accreditation. And then you dive down a little further where you're looking at learning analytics, as George defined earlier. You're trying to understand the actual learning process itself and to be able to act and refine on that process. So you can kind of dive into deeper levels as time goes along.
And I think that's very much with what John just stated. It's important to recognize that really any system within a university that generates data is a potential marketplace for analytics, which means that right down to student activity, to activity within a library, to even administrative activity, you know, where are we allocating, how are we allocating our resources, what's the impact? And at an educator and a researcher level as well, universities are starting to ask questions about, you know, what's the research contribution of our researchers and the dollars and the time we're putting in and the output they're generating. So probably the simplest way to describe it is any aspect of a university system that offputs data is ripe for some level of analytics, whether that's administrative, teaching, learning, research focused, or right down to a student level. Now, of course, once you move beyond that, you start moving interinstitutional data, and then, of course, international comparisons as well.
Now, the two of you are heavily involved in doing the actual analytics themselves. How do you depend on people on campus to participate in that effort? What are you looking for from the rest of the campus to make your job possible?
I mean, the biggest challenge on campuses for most people trying to do analytics is really going to be about breaking down the silos, trying to actually get access to the data so that you can do something with it.
Well, in terms of the data acquisition process in particular, I've been involved in a series of open online courses where getting the data is less of a challenge because everything's available on the web. It's, you know, we're participating in open learning management systems, blogs, wikis, and other sites. And a lot of that data then we have the opportunity to sort of mine and to look at. So that's a bit of that obstruction that John's addressing isn't there always in an open course. But by the same account, I think one of the critical aspects to analytics is that each new data point provides almost an exponential level of insight into what's there. So if I know, for example, a student's activity in a learning management system, that'll provide me one angle of insight into that student's activity. But if I can combine that with, let's say, their access to library services and what they do in library service, or if I can look at some of their social media activity and start to bring that together and draw some connections between that activity, that's really where the amplification value of networks and analytics starts to become much more pronounced. So, and simultaneously, that's where some of the ethics concerns become prominent.
The challenge also, as you add additional data sets, is looking at new ways of analyzing the data. And so people are actively pursuing additional methods to try to bring into the work. There's a lot of work going on with network analysis and trying to understand how students interact with each other or how the students interact with a faculty member, and ultimately trying to build models where you can identify, you know, what's very positive patterns, what are negative patterns. So, you know, what happens to the individual that has a very weak network? They don't have a lot of connections to others. What does that mean? Versus somebody that's strongly tied to a variety of people. This could be an exciting field for many years yet to come.
And I think exactly that point, too, is that what we draw from that data, what it means, is something that's still a little more up in the air. I think it's easy enough to take large data sets and start to draw some correlations. But at the end, and I've seen people say, oh, you know, students who log into the course within the first day of it being opened, they are more successful than students who log in day three. Now, you would look at that on the surface and you would say, well, let's just make sure all our students log in on day one. But there's something else at play. So right. I think it's very important that we don't look at analytics and say, oh, we've seen this one relationship. This is what we need to address. We really have to dig deeper and we have to start finding the reasons behind these patterns rather than just trying to manipulate the patterns to ensure success.
You both work for institutions that have bought into this concept and recognize the value of it. For schools that haven't yet taken this step, and in particular for schools that have resource constraints, how would you recommend they get into analytics?
To me, step one is understanding what data the institution already has. Where are these pots of data that the institution collects automatically as part of its normal business process? So there's always admissions data. And so admissions is used a whole big set of data to make decisions about who gets into the institution, who doesn't. What tools do students use on campus that have a certain set of data? And so for me, the first step is just even understanding what data an institution might have.
This is something that both John and I are involved in is we were setting up an organization called the Society for Learning Analytics Research, and our goal is exactly to address these kinds of questions, is to look at what are the experiences of implementation, what are the methods of research, what are the methods of analytics within an organization. So there's no really one set answer you can give outside of an institution because you need to have the right model or the right sort of individuals willing to step up to the table, people who are willing to sort of sponsor a pilot projects on analytics, somebody who's willing to provide some technical oversight, somebody who can basically push the project through, and of course the methods and the tactics that you're using in the analytics process. We're seeing now a very rapidly developing group of research activities, as well as I think organizations are just, you know, going to sprout up around this concept of analytics, and existing vendors are repurposing their products, and now everybody's into learning analytics. It's, you know, it's the trend that only took 12 years to arrive overnight, and that's, I think, the stage we're at right now. So a big challenge, I think, for schools and universities is finding credible sources of information and being able to do, you know, who can we trust, rather than, let's say, buying into a vendor solution without understanding what some of the other options are.
If there was someone from the IT organization who recognized the value of what you're describing and wanted to make that case to the senior leadership or the boards of trustees at their university, what kind of resources are available for them to make that case?
It's worth emphasizing a big challenge that individuals face in organizations is that while universities value logic and see themselves as logic enterprises, a lot of the decisions actually aren't made on that basis. And this comes from business intelligence fields as well, where it's tough to let go of your gut instinct in certain cases and actually look at what does the data say about this situation, or what determines learner's success, or, you know, which interventions have a dramatic impact in subsequent output. So I think that's probably the starting point, is being able to recognize that thinking in data terms does require a bit of a transition and period. But from there, the resources, I think, that are available right now for a particular university or for a school system to start engaging in analytics, you can pull from a variety of spaces. There's the educational data mining field, which has developed quite rapidly, and I think they're about 4 or 5 years on now. There's definitely EDUCAUSE, a variety of publications that relate to analytics and the use of academic or learning analytics in the school process. So I think from someone who wakes up and says, you know what, I've got to be doing more of this analytics stuff, there's certainly a lot more resources available than there was even, you know, 1 or 2 years ago. Good.
Excellent. What are some of the breakthrough technologies, either existing or that you can see are on the near horizon, that will impact this kind of analysis?
So there's a few organizations that the startups, I think, that are starting to see analytics in an integrated fashion. And there's a real benefit of seeing it that way, because if I'm a faculty member, if I'm a researcher and I'm doing one-level analytics, perhaps just looking at discourse analysis, or if I'm looking at the social networks that get developed in a particular class, that provides me one level of insight. But if I don't have the resources then to tie that to an intervention structure, I'm playing on a very small, you know, ball field. But if I can increase that to a systemic level implementation, that's where you can really start to do some good stuff in terms of supporting students and advancing their success. But companies such as Newton, is just one quick illustration, or Grokket, they've started to see analytics from a right to the content level. Before students ever get the content, they're looking at analytics and creating intelligent curriculum, if you will, where the students can then interact with the content and they'll receive adaptive resources based on their levels of expertise. And once you start to do that, you take your curriculum and you tie it through to learning activities and adaptive learning, and your assessment is adaptive as well, so you can fill existing knowledge gaps, and you have the right motivating principles in place in curricular design to intervene early when the students sort of demonstrate symptoms of potential disengagement. That's, I think, where learning will become most significant from an analytics component, is when we start to integrate that and do it at a systemic level. And that's where I see the neat stuff happening right now.
You're both leaders in your field. If you were assured of success, what bold steps would you take to push analytics forward?
I mean, for me, the number one step on a campus would be breaking down the silos. If somehow I could wave a magic wand and there is actually openness and transparency about the data, I think that would be the number one thing to help all institutions move forward in terms of analytics.
Well, and even if I wasn't assured of success, just for the sake of an interesting experience, I think what we need in analytics right now, a lot of the, you look at the trends of development of technology and education in the past, you know, from the learning management systems to other systems that now are fairly well defined. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see an analytics tool set the same way we now see, you know, an enterprise resource planning or customer relationship management system. So it'll be an analytics tool set within education. And so what I have a particular interest in is this notion of developing an open learning architecture, which allows us for anyone to be able to use analytics, and treating this open platform as sort of the foundation around which we build additional learning analytics models. All kinds of problems with it, especially because universities build over, they throw up different kinds of data and different types of formats, and getting it to play nicely with each other would be definitely a nightmare. But I think in order for analytics to be ultimately successful, to ultimately play a bit of a transformative effect in the educational process, we have to see it from a systemic and from an integrated manner. And I think that's where I'd like to put my effort if I had even a remote chance of success was developing an open learning analytics architecture.
Last question. What are the major opportunities for multi-campus collaboration in the analytics space?
I think there's definitely huge opportunities because if we're developing some of our tool sets together, then we have the ability of sort of an economy of scale that comes with collaborating. But I think in terms of analysis, we don't have that many education-specific analytics models yet. In fact, when a lot of folks talk about analytics in education or learning process, they say, oh, you know, think of what Amazon does with books, right? Or think of this particular, you know, think of Spotify or whatever it is, so that we're using external to the education field models of how analytics might work in education. So I think once you start looking at multi-campus collaborative activities, you can start to develop education-specific models that can inform the activities and the practices that we're involved in at a classroom level or at a department level.
I think we'll also find an interesting way of validating 30 or more years of research. I mean, a lot of the educational research in which we have built upon is done on fairly small-scale studies. And so something as simple as we know providing prompt feedback improves student learning. There's all kinds of studies, hundreds if not thousands of studies, that talk about providing prompt feedback. But you look at the scale of those, they're relatively small. Now if you could start pooling information from multiple institutions, maybe we can start looking at what's the aspect of prompt feedback that really we could use to improve learning as a whole. And the large data sets gives us an opportunity that most researchers will never have.
There's a quote, it actually goes back to 1972. P.W. Anderson wrote an article by this title. It's called More is Different. And it reminds me of a follow-up state by David Glernter where he talks about, you know, if you have three dogs, give them a name. If you have 10,000 head of cattle, don't bother. And so there's a sense in which quantity impacts our relationship to the data elements that we have. And once you look at big-scale data, you find novel insights and novel patterns that you just don't have in those small-scale projects that much of the educational research is based on.
Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up, are there any last points either of you would like to make?
My primary thinking is, analytics is certainly developing at an astonishingly rapid pace. And I think it's an exciting time to be in education because one of the roles that I believe analytics can play is we see on the one hand there's a huge call for educational reform and disruption in the academic sector. People want a better model, something that's more effective, that's less expensive. And I think analytics can provide a gauge as to the effectiveness of the initiatives that we're taking. So it's not a gut instinct reaction to we must do this. It's a change that says this is actually what works. Here's the data that demonstrates that it works. So it's a way by which we can gauge some of the initiatives and the intervention strategies that university and college systems are experimenting with.
Thank you very much.
This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.